Good morning. My name is Wayne Murray. I'm the pastor here at Grace. If you're here for the first time, we are so glad you are here. This is the third Sunday of our grand opening series that we are calling The Church You've Always Wanted. And before we get started today, I want to say a big thank you to all of our volunteers and especially our staff, because we have had three gigantic, huge events, three Sundays in a row. And how many know that takes a lot of effort, that takes a lot of energy and a lot of time. So would you give a big God bless you to all of our volunteers and especially our staff. Yeah, I'm going to be leaving tomorrow for a few days, and they're all going to say, God bless you, leave. We don't want to hear from you because you got too much stuff to do. But anyway, hey, we have been enjoying our time talking about the vision of our church. And along the way, we've been reminiscing about some church signs that people have. There are all kinds of churches in the world. And one of the ways that you can kind of get an idea of how varied and different churches are is the signs that we read. And we found some pretty good ones. Here's some more that we want to take advantage of and watch. Look at this. Staying in bed shouting, oh God, does not constitute going to church. All right, next one. Here we go. Best sausage supper in St. Louis. Come and eat Pastor Thomas Ressler. How many know that's a very giving pastor right there? That's a very giving pastor. All right, here's the next one. God expects spiritual fruit, not religious nuts. How many know that's probably a church in California? Come on, somebody. That's what I'm saying. All right, watch this. Having trouble sleeping? We have sermons. Come hear one. That's not very nice. That's all I got to say. If that's ever on our church sign, it'll never be on our church sign. Here we go. This is a little bit like it. Now's a good time to visit. Our pastor is on vacation. Now, either somebody should get fired or that pastor is not in charge of that church, right? Here's another one. Whoever stole our AC units, keep one. It's hot where you're going. I'll be honest, that was my favorite. All right, that was really good. All right, we love hurting people. How many know something may have gotten lost? We love hurting people. Or we love hurting people. All right, here we go. I think there's a couple more. Life stinks. We have a pew for you. All right, last one. Choose the bread of life or you are toast. It's so funny because now you guys are sending me these pictures. So keep sending them away and we'll keep updating them as we go. For the last two Sundays, we have been talking about the vision that God gave to us 17 years ago when my wife and I began pastoring this church. In a time of prayer and fasting and seeking the Lord as we were beginning our ministry here, God gave us a plan. He gave us a strategy. He gave us a vision for what the church is to become and what it is we're supposed to do. We're calling it the church you've always wanted. And just as a bit of review, let's review what we have talked about the last two Sundays. First of all, we found out that the church that you've always wanted is a church that prays. Everybody say prays. Prayer is the fuel of the church, okay? We can organize and plan and do all of that, but ultimately we need the power of God, the presence of God to do any good thing, right? So we're a church that prays. Secondly, a church that you've always wanted is a church that wins people to Jesus Christ. Our goal in life is to reconcile men and women to a relationship with God, which, by the way, 26 people found Jesus last Sunday morning in our services. You should give God praise for that. Number three, a church that you've always wanted is a church that develops disciples. So it's not just enough to give your life to Christ. You're supposed to grow up. Everybody say grow up. You're supposed to grow up in your relationship with God through prayer, through Bible study, and all of those different types of things. So our goal is that you grow. And then number four, a church that activates people for ministry. God has already provided for all of the needs in this community. We believe he's placed all the resources and the talents to meet those needs in the church. And so we simply need to activate the resources, the talents, and the gifts that are in the church so that people's needs can be met. You know the whole 80-20 rule people talk about? That's not for the church. Right? God expects everybody to serve somebody, and we want the church that you've always wanted is a church that activates people for service. So let's pick that up. I've got three more to share here today concerning the church that you've always wanted. This is our goal. These are our game plan. These are our values. The church that you've always wanted is a church that nurtures families. As a church, our goal is to come alongside and build families. Look at our vision statement here. It says, where men and women and children learn and assimilate the dynamics of their role in each family. Men and women are taught and encouraged to become faithful spouses, effective parents, raising responsible children. This will result in stronger family units, strengthening the church, the schools, and the community. So the vision that God has given to us is that as a church, we're the one that comes alongside men and women, and we teach and mentor and train what it means to be a godly husband, a godly wife, a godly parent, right? That's the goal. That's the vision that God has given to us. Now, it used to be, many years ago, that when somebody grew up and they got out of the house and they got married and they started having kids, they would go to their mom and dad or their grandparents and say, hey, show me how to do this. Show me how to be a parent. You know, if somebody had a baby, maybe grandma would come and stay with the new mother for a while, kind of show them how things go. And sometimes that still happens. But far more often these days, I hear people saying, you know what, Pastor? The last person I want to show me how to be a father or the last person to show me how to be a husband is my dad or my family, because there's a lot of broken families in the world. So where does that leave people? Does that leave them without hope and people just kind of trying to find out their own way? I submit to you that God's answer for that is the church. God's solution to help raising godly families and help having strong families is the church of Jesus Christ. And so God has positioned us to train families so that they can be strong. And how many know if families are strong, communities are strong? Let me back up. If families are strong, churches are strong. If churches are strong, the community is strong, then the nation's strong, and we have a revival. And we may not be facing all the stuff that we're facing right now in our country. I'm preaching now. So it all starts with the church helping families become what God wants them to be. Now, I think God has placed the church in a position to train and mentor families. Nick Vujicic was here last week, and he is the guy from Australia that was born with no arms and no legs. And he was in six schools in Indiana, two of them locally, Pier Meridian and Whiteland High School. 270,000 students watched one of the simulcasts, 270,000 students in Indiana. And every time in the school assembly, he made this statement. He said, experiencing a broken family is far worse than being born with no arms and no legs. And you know, every time he said it, I just kind of gulped. Like, wow. But he said it time and time again, because experiencing a broken family is far worse than being born with no arms and no legs. The reality is there are a lot of broken families in our community. You know them. I know them. You may even be here today. What's the hope? Where does the answer lie? The answer lies in the church of Jesus Christ, the family of God, right? The family of God is the hope to help people grow. Recently, we did a demographic study of everybody in a 10-mile radius of our church. And so we're trying to get a picture of our community so we can serve them better. And what we found out is 80% of the people within 10-mile radius of our church, 80% of the adults, are married. And the average age is 38.9. I don't know, that's free information if you wanted to know. And we found out that the biggest issues or the biggest challenges that each of them are facing, according to them, according to these surveys, are family relationships, particularly when it comes to the area of money. People are stressed out. They are stretched paper thin. They have mortgages, they have stuff, they have demands, kids, issues, all of this kind of stuff. It's stressing people out to the point of people are giving up. So what do we do about that as a church? Guess what? We come alongside those families and help them. If we want to build a bridge to this community, how many know we got to help some families? I heard Billy Graham say one time, if a person can get his thinking toward money straightened out, it will straighten most everything else in his or her life. That great theologian, Dr. Phil, put it this way. Money is the number one problem in marriages and the number one cause of divorce. So we're going to do something about it as a church. Next Sunday, we have invited the Queen of Free to be our guest speaker here at our church. Sherry Lowe does a column every week in the Daily Journal. She's on Channel 13 every Sunday, helping people live more simply, save money, and spend less, okay? She is the expert, and she's going to be here with you next Sunday. And so in order for us to help people, how many know we need to bring those folks to church with them, right? So they can become, they can have a better understanding of money so that it can help their families, right? And it's kicking off a series that we're calling The Theology of Stuff. And we're going to talk about what God's word says about our things. And help me know, every part of that is a heart issue. And God's going to use this to help us to minister our community if you'll bring people with you. I want you to hear it from the Queen of Free herself. Watch this.
Hi, my name is Sherry Lowe. You might know me as the Queen of Free, and I am a recovering stuffaholic. I want to invite you to join me at Grace Assembly of God on September 28th, where I will be sharing my story of our family's journey of paying off $127,482.30 in 4 years. This kicks off a new series called The Theology of Stuff at Grace. And you know, Billy Graham once said that if a person can get his thinking toward money straightened out, it will straighten most everything else in his or her life. And I totally believe this to be true. One of the lies that we believed when we began our journey of paying off debt was that we were alone, that we were the only people who had a financial mess, that we should have known better and that we should have done better. But I want to give you the redemptive message today that you are not alone and there is always hope when it comes to your finances. Each week during the series, I'll be sharing some practical and tips and advice to fuel your journey. Everything from the signs that you're about ready to make a financial decision that you'll regret, to planning your meals well, to those basic budgeting tips and tools that will help fuel your journey. Join us on Sunday, September the 28th at Grace Assembly of God in Greenwood, Indiana during both the 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. services as we start this journey together. And don't forget to bring someone with you. Hashtag be a bringer.
Now, why are we doing this series beginning next week? Because it's going to help families. I'm going to say that again. Why are we doing this? Because it's going to help families. And yeah, we're going to give them practical tools. We're going to give lots of help. But ultimately, we're going to get to the heart of the issue because it's always about the heart and our attitude toward God. So would you help me? That video that you just saw is on our Grace's Facebook page. It's going to be on Twitter account. And so would you RT it, all right? And share it, post it, comment on it. You helped us do that with the invitation video for this grand opening series, and 33,000 people watched it, right? And since I have a face for radio, that tells you that you did all the work, okay? So do the same with this video. Today, when you get home or even before you leave, you know, retweet it, put it on Facebook, share it, and say, hey, join me next Sunday for the Queen of Free. That'll be a great time. Now, 2 weeks ago, when we were talking about the vision that God had called us to be a house of prayer, we asked everyone that wanted to write out a prayer request, and we would pray for them. Can I tell you that after going through all of those cards, the majority of prayer requests had to do with families, family relationships, family issues. And what does that tell us? This is the issue for our community. This is the number one thing facing our community, family relationships. And as a church, we want to be a missionary to families by helping them, by encouraging them, and by blessing them. Our church is filled with lots of great people, all kinds of different families. Some of them are very, very unique. Probably none more unique than Josh and Ashley Dunlap. They're going to tell their story about their family. Watch this.
Josh and I met when I was 16 and he was 21. We knew people at the same church. I was attending the youth group and he really wasn't going to church at the time. His family was such a positive influence in my life because they were believers, and his parents were married for 26 years, and they were the first people that I ever saw what a married couple was supposed to be like, a married couple living for God and raising their children in the church and just serving God in many ministries.
My sister and I have had talks before about her wanting me to take the kids if anything ever happened. For some reason, we always had that talk that if anything happened, she'd want me to take the kids. I got a phone call from my mother about 11, probably about 10 or 11 o'clock at night, I think it was. And she was just screaming, saying my sister had been murdered. Her ex-husband had murdered her and took four kids that were my sister's on a high-speed chase. Then the cops had finally caught him, and the kids had to go with CPS at the time because there was no family that lived right there to take him.
From the minute those kids didn't have a mom, I knew that I wanted us to be their parents. And he said, okay, well, I agree and feel like God's telling me the exact same thing, so call whoever you have to call to make it happen.
You know, being parents, well, we've never been parents, so going from zero to four, it's just amazing how God has knitted us together as a family. You know, you end up changing your lifestyle, and so you lose some friends, but at the same time, I gained a lot of friendships at church with going to some of the men's ministry things that Stacy Johnson has, and without having a dad to go talk to or anything like that, being able to have these ministries at church in small groups to go to and be able to talk to these men that are older than me about life, you know, makes more of a difference than I think people realize when they're, you know, your father's age and they're saying things that, you know, you could see your dad saying. So small group and men's ministries and has been really good for me personally growing up with adopting the kids and having people that have kids perspectives.
It's just been so amazing continually going to Grace and seeing new people and building new friendships and relationships. I think it's just so important because you can lean on each other, and I've never met one person that wasn't loving, accepting, kind, and that genuinely I knew was praying for our family during the hard times and that helped us out when they could.
Would you give God praise for what God is doing in the Dunlap's family? It's one thing to have a vision to be a family training center, but it's another to have a strategy or a pathway to make it happen. One of the ways that we want to help families is doing series like we're doing beginning next Sunday, helping folks with family relationships. But another way is that we have a ministry in our church called NAME, the National Association of Marriage Enhancement, and it involves married couples who are trained to come alongside other married couples to encourage them, to pray for them, and to counsel them. And here's the good news. We do it all for free. So our church offers free marriage counseling to anybody that would like it. And it involves real people, and all of the marriage counselors from our church are right behind me. There's a few more that were here in the first service, but these are the folks that have been trained, and they love you, they love families. And if you're going through a valley, you're going through a difficult time, and let me just go ahead and say, it happens to a lot of people, so you should never be ashamed if you're walking through those valleys. Outside after the service in the hub, there will be a kiosk with name on it, N-A-M-E, and you can find one of these couples if you want to talk to them or if you want to refer somebody to that. So encourage you to do that. Would you say a big God bless you to our name couples? We appreciate you guys very, very much. Some other ways that we accomplish this vision is that there's always classes and seminars taking place about parenting and marriage. Wednesday nights, we've got a class going on right now called It Starts at Home. We do marriage retreats, men's retreats, women's retreats, men's Bible studies, women's Bible studies. You say, Pastor, why do you guys do all that? Because we're trying to train families. We're trying men to train men to be godly men and ladies to be godly women so that they can in turn have strong families, right? Now, as a matter of fact, this Friday night, and by the way, you know Jesus is about to come back when the pastor stands up on a Sunday morning and is about to encourage everybody to go see a movie. But this Friday night, there is a new movie being released called The Song, and it's an allegory of the Song of Solomon, and it's a great movie for families, specifically for marriages. And we have rented out the entire movie theater in order for you to come and bring some people with you, okay? So on your way out today, buy a ticket to the movie Friday night. I believe it's at Regal Cinema, and let's make it a date night. You know, we preach the group dating thing anyway, but no, just bring some people with you, and that will be great. One ministry that we've been praying about for a long time and yet have never been able to get off the ground here at our church is divorce care. And if you feel like maybe you've been divorced and you've got something to offer, we'll train you, we'll help you, but there are so many people in our community who have experienced the hurt of divorce. And we want to be the church that comes alongside, not to pass judgment, not to pass blame, but just to come alongside and walk with you through the valley so that God can heal you. So if you're interested in that, would you please let us know so that we can go forward there? All right? Here's number six. We're almost done. The sixth vision statement of our church. The church that you've always wanted is a church that cares. It sounds pretty simple. A church that cares for people. Here's our vision statement, and it's a doozy. All right, are you ready for this? Where the hurting, the depressed, the frustrated, the confused, and the broken can find love, acceptance, help, guidance, growth, forgiveness, hope, and encouragement. Does such a church even exist? I'd submit to you that God certainly wants it to. And I submit to you that that's what God wants this place to be. A place that truly cares for hurting people. A place that truly cares for one another. That's the heart of God for our church. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, the scripture says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In John 13, verse 33, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Here's our goal. We want to have the same type of atmosphere of accepting people and loving people the way Jesus has accepted us and loved us. And let's be honest, some of us were pretty unlovable. Some of us have been through some stuff, and yet God still loves us unconditionally. Isn't that good news? So guess what? God wants the church to be the exact same way. So that when people walk in this building and they walk wherever any ministry of the people in this church are taking place, they experience the same kind of grace, the same kind of love, the same kind of acceptance that God gave to you. Now, how many know the Church of Jesus Christ has been painted with a pretty broad brush recently, full of haters? You know, we are judgmental. We hate people. We even had one of our vendors on site a couple weeks ago. They were kind of scared to come here because they heard something about our church, some media person said. That is baloney. Are you hearing me? We are the light of Jesus to the world. We are the caring place that God has that God wants us to be. We want to be that. We want to be the church that comes alongside people and does what Jesus did. Remember, Jesus goes to Mary and Martha. Their brother had died. And I want, if you read John chapter 11, you see that Jesus doesn't say, what's wrong with you? Don't you have any faith? You guys, just suck it up. It's going to be okay. Resurrection is going to take place. No, did Jesus do that? No, the scripture says in John chapter 11, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. That's who God has called the church to be. To simply come alongside and weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Statistically, the experts tell us, and this is not good news, that in the next 5 years, everybody in this room will experience some sort of crisis. Aren't you glad you came to church today for me to encourage you with that? A crisis in one of these five areas: a health crisis, a financial crisis, a relationship crisis, an emotional crisis of some kind. Everybody here is going to go through something sometime. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. And we all know that to be true. So when the crisis comes, when the trouble comes, where will you go? Will you have anybody to help you? I submit to you, that's why God created the church. The family of God, where people can care for one another when they're walking through the valley. I want you to meet Kevin and Jenny Ott, another family in our church that God has done wonderful things through, and they're going to tell their story of the church that has cared for them as they walk through their valley. Watch this.
Hello, Grace family. My name is Kevin Ott, and this is my wife, Jenny, and we are at Riley Hospital for Children to tell our story of how Grace Assembly came around us and took care of us during the hardest time of our lives.
Our story begins about a year ago in April of 2013, when our son Jared was diagnosed with a brain tumor. He had been having some complications 4 months before that and had some tremors. So we decided to make an appointment at Riley. We got in, and that night we had an MRI done that showed a large brain tumor.
The night that we found the tumor, I called Pastor Jason to let him know so that he could do what he does. And he was actually with Pastor Wayne. And within an hour, we were in the emergency room, and Pastor Wayne was walking through the doors of the emergency room. Just to let us know that the church is going to be there for us. And he prayed with us. He went back at 7:30 in the morning, and we saw him at 2:30 the next afternoon after a 30-hour surgery.
So that was not what we expected to have happen. We went through that 30-hour brain surgery, and that was another hard time during this, where our friends kind of gathered around us at the church. They would be praying for us. Another hard time in our life came in October when the doctor did an MRI, and she saw that he needed to have a shunt because fluid was building up. And so the shunt was put in that day of the surgery, and even though the surgery was only about 3 hours long, it was one of the hardest times of our life, knowing that she had to go back in after having just done a 30-hour surgery in April.
And then everything was going pretty well until just July, just a few weeks ago. He had a follow-up MRI, and we found out that he has some residual tumor that is growing and will require another surgery next summer, in the summer of 2015.
So through all of this, from early in 2013, we asked our small group to start praying for him even before we had an appointment at Riley. We asked them to start praying, and every week that our small group would get together, our leader would lead us in prayer and pray over Jared and pray for healing and pray for everything to be done that needed to be done. And so we went through those 4 months, and then during the surgery, we had so many people from our church come up on the day of surgery. We had so many texts and so many phone calls. So many cards were sent to us in the mail, and all of these people around the church, even people that we didn't know that were attending Grace, would either send us a card or Facebook us or do something that would help us to know that they were caring about us.
Throughout this whole process, the men's group has been there for us. Our small group has done so much for us. During the entire 30 hours, Ethan McGivern was here the entire time. Jeremy Elmore was here almost the entire time. Every pastor came through. Our small group leaders, our small group, and then so many others in the church that just came just to talk and help us pass the time.
The church came around our son, and not just us as a couple, but also him as a child in our church. So we would like to say thank you for always having our backs when things are tough and when we go through trials and we don't even know how we're going to hang on to the very next minute of the day. Grace has always been there for us, and the people of Grace are doing things and reaching out because truly it is the church that we have always wanted.
Amen.
Oh, all right. I've made up my mind. I want to go to that church. Don't you? I want to go to that church where people truly care for each other. Is that even possible? I submit to you that it is. But there's only one way that it's possible. And that's this. Everybody has to take it on themselves to show compassion to other people. What are you talking about? Well, part of our problem in our American culture is that we have trained people to come to church to be consumers of religious goods and services. We come to church, we sit down, we fold our arms, impress me, pastor, you know, give us your best shot. Band, musician, videos, creative people, you know, because if you don't impress me, I'm gone. And what we've created is this very unhealthy, un-Christ-like attitude of church. Because that's not God, who God's called us to be. He's called us to be a community of people who care for one another. So that means when I come to church, I'm not just coming to be blessed, even though that's going to happen, we believe. But I'm also coming to church to bless others, to show compassion. What if, just imagine, what if everybody came to a church service and said, God, not only do I'm open to hearing what you have for me today, but God, show me somebody that I can encourage, somebody that I can bless, somebody that I can pray for today. I have a dream. I can see it in my head right now. I have a dream that I leave the church service, I walk out into the hub, and there's these huddles of people praying for one another, encouraging one another, maybe over a cup of coffee at the cafe, but maybe they're in a corner and a guy's praying for a guy, a family's praying for a family. Can you see that? That's the dream that God has for the church, a church that cares for one another. The old saying goes, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. We want to be that church. Another way that this is accomplished is through our small groups. Matter of fact, this is one of the best ways that care takes place at our church. I realize some of you said, I've never gone to a church, you know, that has a seating capacity this big. And maybe that kind of feels, like, oh, I'll get lost. I'll get lost in the shuffle. Well, the only way you'll get lost in the shuffle is if you choose to. Because what we have done as a church is we've created all these small groups of people, 8 to 12 folks, you know, who are looking out for one another, encouraging one another. They have Bible studies every other Sunday night. They get together. We pray together. You say, what are we trying to do? We're trying to build relationships so that people can care for one another. Pastor, I thought it was your job to take care of everybody. Well, you know what? I can take care of about 8 to 12 pretty well. But beyond that, it's just not going to happen. So what's the solution? Everybody. Taking concern and responsibility for other people. Come on, am I preaching to the right crowd here today? That's God's heart. If you're not part of a group, I want to encourage you on your way out. I want you to see my wife at the Singing Christmas Tree kiosk, and she can give you more information about being part of those small groups. You know, sometimes we go on vacation, and when we go on vacation, we say, hey, neighbor, I'm going to be gone so-and-so, you know, to such and such date. Would you keep an eye out for my stuff? A lot of us have done that. But can I ask you a question? Who's keeping an eye out for your soul? That's what God wants us to be. Amen? Now let's move to the last one, number 7. The church that you've always wanted is a church that cares for people. But number 7, the church that you've always wanted is a church that serves the community. A church that serves the community. Here's the vision statement. The goal is that we become a blessing to our community, right? Our schools, our neighborhoods, seeking to serve them and become Jesus with skin on. I'll talk about what that means in just a minute. Ministry to the poor, needy, and underprivileged, as well as providing services to the community within our capacity. I like to put it this way. When the rapture takes place, somebody should miss us. You get that? Rapture? Yeah, when Jesus comes to take his church away to be with him in heaven, the Bible says there will be people left behind. There's a movie coming out. You may have heard about it. But anyway, a few million books have been sold called Left Behind. But there will be people who will be left behind. And when those folks are left behind, they should miss us. Because we are so intertwined in their lives and serving in this community that when we are no longer there, there is a hole in this community of the services we are no longer offering. Come on, somebody. Can I tell you that part of our church problem is that we have gone to the community far too often, and I'm talking about lots of churches here. We go to the community with our hand out. As a church, we say, give us everything, donate, you know, we're nonprofit, blah, blah, you know, free, 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 free. And what we have is a beggar's mentality. And we expect the community to serve us, and that is not the plan of God. God wants us to go to the community, not with our palms up, but with our palms down. To be a blessing, to be a giver, to give what God has given to us. Does that make sense to everybody? God wants us to serve our community. And so our goal is to be the blessers. Our goal is to be the givers. We want the leaders of our city, we want the leaders of our community, we want the schools and the teachers in our community to be blown away by the generosity of God's people. Pastor, is that even possible? Let me tell you a story. A week ago Friday, we're at Paramaridian High School. We're setting up for these outreach events with Nick Vujicic, right? And so our church was part of bringing him here, and guess what? We charged the schools zero. To bring one of the most world-class speakers for any student came to our community, and we charged them nothing. Paul Sopke was there, and he overheard some of the teachers talking, some of the staff saying, we cannot believe that all of this, and it was a first-class production. He goes, I can't believe they're doing all of this, and they're charging us nothing. Don't you love that? Isn't that awesome? Because guess what? We're not going to them and say, hey, we want to do this for you, but it's going to cost you this, and you're going to have to do this, and blah, 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 blah. No. It's a gift. It's a blessing from the people of God. Now, the budget for that whole week was $270,000. Do you know who provided all that money? People in churches. People in the kingdom. I mean, no, that's the way it should be. If you haven't figured it out by now, the government is ill-equipped to help people. And I'm not joking, because it's not even God's plan. God's plan is you and me. Come on, somebody. I want to be part of a church that serves the community. The church you've always wanted serves and blesses the community that it's in. How does that happen at our church? Well, one of the ways is we do stuff like this school outreach with Nick Vujicic like we did. We have a homeless ministry in our church that feeds hundreds of homeless people every Saturday morning. As a matter of fact, they told me to ask. They need 200 backpacks in the next 2 weeks so they can prepare for their winter outreach, okay? So in the next 2 weeks, we need 200 backpacks to come so they can come and bless those who are homeless. I need some volunteers to say, in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to bring a backpack to church and leave it in the hub. All right, there's about 100 in the first service. There's like seven of you here so far. Raise your hand. I can bring a backpack. Yeah, that's what I like. Don't you love peer pressure from the platform? Raise it up. This is the altar call. All right. We want to be a blessing. So bring it. Leave it in the hub. We'll have a place for you to do that. Homeless ministry. We have a storehouse ministry that provides furniture and clothing and things like that to people in need. We're about to open a food pantry here at our church, and we're very excited about that. We have ministries to nursing homes. We have just a bunch of different outreaches. Celebrate Recovery meets on Wednesday nights to help people who are addicted and are hurting. One of the reasons we do Honor Our Heroes every year, and it costs us a lot of money, is because we want to serve the community. When we do the singing Christmas tree later, which the rehearsals begin today, when we do it later, why are we doing all of that? To bless the community. I mean, far too often Christ is left out of Christmas. And the only way they're going to hear the message is through the church, right? Come on, we're blessing and serving the community. So use your gifts and talents to do all that. Last Sunday, we had our very first ever community job and health fair. Well, how'd that go? Well, more than 40 different community service organizations partnered with the church. I just love saying that. Partnered with the church to help people. People found jobs. People were blessed. I got this from the Bloodmobile. It says, thank you, this email, thank you for your partnership with the Indiana Blood Center. We registered 33 volunteers, collected 21 units at your blood drive, which means 63 lives were saved last Sunday. We are truly grateful for your time and support and cannot supply blood at the Indiana hospitals without you. Now, last week's community job and health fair went so well. Kim McGivern and her peeps did it so awesome. We're going to do it every year. Isn't that great? The church you've always wanted is a church that seeks to bless and to give. Now, let me just take a moment right here and give you a little commercial. That's why we teach tithing at our church. Now, I know some people say, well, all the church wants is your money, blah, blah, blah. No. In order for the church to be in position to bless, you got to have something in your hand. You're not going to be able to bless the community with a beggar's mentality. I'm shooting straight with you. So God's plan is everybody in the church, you give the first 10% of your income to the church, and the church is blessed and provided for with an opportunity to be a blessing to the community. So those who say all the church wants is my money, you're just listening to the wrong voice. You are listening to the wrong voice. Because we, as a church, we exist to serve others. To prove it to you, or better way, to illustrate it to you, I've got a series of pictures that I want you to watch. Pictures of people serving. People in our church serving the community, serving the nation, serving around the world, because that's why we exist. Watch this. Amen. That church we've heard about these last three Sundays, the church you've seen in those pictures and the stories of that church that people have been talking about, by God's grace, that's this church. Pastor, does that mean you're doing every one of those areas in incredible ways? No. There are many of those areas that we could do. Matter of fact, all of them, we could do a lot better. But God gave this plan, this strategy to us 17 years ago. And I want you to notice that none of those strategies or visions has a number attached to it. Oh, we want to have a church of this many people and we want to have this many things. No. It's not about numbers. It's about people. It's about God's heart and God's will. And by the way, over the past 17 years, that means we've had to have 5 building projects because God has taken 26 people and he's multiplied it into many, many more. And he is not done. I said, he is not done. I'm so excited that you have an opportunity to be part of the church that you've always wanted. And again, no one here is saying that we are better than any other church. Not at all. I'm simply telling you what God has said to us about our church. And I want to invite you to be part of it. You know, over the past 3 Sundays, we've had lots of people here for the first time. Operation Be a Bringer was a great success. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 families or individuals visiting for the very first time. That's pretty awesome. And for those of you that have come and you've sat through these services and you're like, wow, that sounds interesting. Well, here's what I want to ask of you. Do you think that God brought you here for a reason? Don't you think that it wasn't by happenstance or circumstance that you found this place? Because really, it's part of God finding you. As the pastor, I'm inviting you, would you join us? Would you be part of the church that God's always wanted? Would you help us become the church that this community needs? Would you help us fulfill the vision that God has given to us? You say, how do I do that? Well, I'm glad you ask. The very first step that we would ask is for you to take part in what we call the growth track. The growth track is a series of 4 classes or gatherings where we just talk about who we are as a church. It starts with Grace 101 called Connect. And that's a class that my wife, Tracy, and I lead. We lead the discussion because we want to get to know you and we want you to get to know us. And it's a 3-hour class, talks about what we believe, who we are, how we work, and it's just a great question and answer time. So this would be your next step. The next time we're going to offer this class is October 5th. We're offering it the first Sunday of each month through the end of the year. It's a 3-hour class, free childcare. We want you to come. In your program this morning, there is an insert for you to fill out and say, hey, count me in. I want to be part of that. Or you can register online, or you can sign up in the hub outside. And it's no commitment. We're not going to sign your name in blood or anything like that. You're simply learning and growing what the next step is. After that class, we encourage you to go through Grace 201 Grow, where you learn spiritual disciplines of how to be a disciple of Jesus. Grace 301 Serve is where we fulfill the vision of everybody being involved in ministry, because we're going to teach you what that might look like and show you the different opportunities that you have. Grace 401 Go talks about how we can be an influence for people around us and expand the kingdom of God. Now, let me be clear. Is the growth track just for people who are new to the church? Oh, you can do better than that. Is the growth track just for people who are new to the church?
No.
Thank you for that. You bless me when you do, because the growth track is for who? Oh, you're blessing me so much. The growth track really is for everybody. So if you've been coming to our church for a long time or just for a few weeks, we want to encourage everybody to go through the growth track, because we believe that's how God is going to position us to see the vision come to pass. Okay? So that's the next step. The other thing I want to ask you to do is, when it comes to seeing the vision, how to see this vision come to pass, it takes an investment of time and talent and treasure. if we simply say, well, we hope that will happen. We think that might happen. No, somebody's got to get involved. Somebody's got to sacrifice. Somebody's got to give of their time. If you're going to serve the community, it's going to take some of your time, right? If we're going to be involved in ministry, that's going to take some time. If we're going to go to the community with our palms down, somebody's got to make an investment of resources and treasures, right? We talked about just a few moments ago about why we teach tithing, because we want the church to be fully resourced to fulfill the vision that God has. So in just a moment, we're going to receive an offering. Matter of fact, our ushers are going to come right now, and you can prepare to give here today. We appreciate all those of you who are faithful, regular givers. God bless you for doing that. If you'd like to give for the first time, just make a check to Grace Assembly of God Church, or you can give electronically on our website, graceassembly.org, or on our church app. But as you are thinking about that or preparing to give in the offering, here's the third thing I want to ask of everybody. In order for the vision to come to pass, we want to ask you to invite people to join you on the journey. The way this works is you invite neighbors and friends and relatives and coworkers and people in your sphere of influence, where you live, where you work, where you play. I invite people where I live, where I work, and where I play. Of course, where I work, everybody comes to church. But if you reach out and I reach out, guess what? God builds his kingdom. Say, why are you going to services? Why'd you build this new worship center? Because we believe that this is the church's finest hour. I want to say that again. I believe this is the church's finest hour. And God is going to do some pretty incredible things, but he's going to do it through you. He's going to do it through me. So beginning next week, the Queen of Free is going to be here. Hey, invite some folks. Bring an army of folks. Just be a bringer, all right? And for this next season of our church, we are going to be focusing a lot on praying and encouraging people to come to the Lord, to come to Christ. So if everybody does their part, bringing people, inviting people, connecting people, God's going to build his church. And God's going to do great things. Amen.